I think everyone is virtually abreast with some of the current developments in Zimbabwe. I'll try to speak to, I think, some of the critical developments that might be of interest, and also the developments around the region which have happened in the past few days. The first, that Zimbabwe became really a cause for concern for the SADC region, which is the Southern African Development Community, was following the 11th of March 2007, when civil society and the opposition had organized a prayer rally in one of the high-density suburbs. The response then by the regime was to go out full force, violently dispersing the gathering and resulting in the death of one of the activists then. It also, I think, attracted international attention insofar as we saw the leadership of the opposition being, you know, brutally beaten, being hospitalized, among other things. Following the meeting that had been disrupted, the SADC heads of state thought of having an extraordinary summit, which was held in Arusha, called by the president of Tanzania, who was then the chairperson of the SADC organ on defense and politics. The resolution of that meeting was to appoint or to nominate South Africa, is headed by Thabo Mbeki, to be a mediator or a facilitator of a dialogue between the ruling party and the opposition. I think then was the indications that for the first time there's been a recognition or the acceptance of the opposition as a critical factor in the Zimbabwean politics. The outcomes of the mediation actually remain virtually disputed, insofar as at present, we are yet to have, you know, the results of the presidential elections being announced, of which, in our view, and in the view of civil society, and even I think in the opposition political party, the mandate of the mediator is yet to be completed. For as long as we are yet to get the results, and also get an undisputed outcome of the results, then I think he still has got a role to play, and should be seen to be doing that. Following again the efforts of the mediation, there had been quite a number of repeal of some of the legislations that kind of opened up the environment, though they might have been cosmetic insofar as the implementation of those legislations remained very much, you know, in doubt. Some of the laws that were amended relate to the security laws, the Public Order and Security Act, which relates to the ability of organizations, political parties, to assemble without having to go through the processes of notifying the police, or in the event of notifying, having to then appeal again to the same police for permission, as it were. Opening up of the airwaves, giving the opposition an opportunity for the first time, you know, to be heard, playing their campaign jingles on the national television and the radio stations, which had never been heard, you know, before. Though the time that had been accorded even to the opposition virtually remains limited. That's the background to which you know, Zimbabwe went into the 29th of March election. After the polling, there was an endorsement of the outcome, I think, by the SADC observer mission, headed by the Angolan Foreign Affairs Minister, who said the conditions in the country were conducive for a free and fair election, and virtually gave the election up to the end of the polling, you know, a green light. The same was of the observer mission from the African Union, headed by the former Sierra Leonean president. But in our view, that remains contested, whether indeed we have had a free and fair election, despite the fact that for the first time the opposition seems to have, you know, obtained seemingly a majority in the House of Assembly, but also a shared victory in the upper house. That, you know, is predicated on the basis of our concerns prior to the polling period, insofar as the environment remained virtually heavily skewed against the opposition. Be that as it may, we then saw again, you know, the heads of state led by the Zambian president, Levingwana Wasa, who, if you may recall, in 2007 had likened Zimbabwe to a sinking Titanic, and really had got strong responses from the Zimbabwean president, who even had to walk out at one of the summits in protest of those sentiments, again calling for another extraordinary urgent meeting on Zimbabwe, which was attended, I think, by about 8 heads of states who were in attendance, and some sent in their dignitaries. again, the issue was Zimbabwe. Of concern, I think, and the outcome of this of the summit is the watered down statement that came out. We know they were debating around semantics of whether to call the situation in Zimbabwe a crisis or not. And the good mediator before he arrived in Zambia had made a stopover in Zimbabwe. We are not so privy of what the deliberations had been, but he has really been trying to tread a fine line, you know, to be seen to be neutral, but he seems to have successfully failed, in my view, to be neutral and independent in his mediation efforts. The communique again from the SADC heads of state meeting over the last weekend failed to address some of the concerns. I think some of the panelists who raised that around the human rights violations. Reports that we've received to date and attendance that we've made in the organization that I work with, about 157 individuals have actually been attended to in cases of torture, being beaten up, and 30 are still in hospitalized with several and differing injuries, all sustained from beatings. The ruling party has again reconstituted the war veterans, but I think the war veterans are actually being abused as a term, because assuming they are all veterans, right now they will be in their 60s and 70s if they are the ones who genuinely fought the liberation struggle. So we have the youth militia being co-opted, you know, and led by individuals in the army, the intelligence, and police, and going out identifying pockets of resistance in the rural areas or individuals that are alleged or perceived to have been, you know, or have voted for the opposition and been beaten up. We also have the situation of our judiciary, which is severely compromised, for lack of a better word or explanation to it, that seems to have cast a veneer of legality insofar as all the constitutional and legislative manipulations that the ruling party, in conjunction or with the support of the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission, has been, you know, undertaking in the past few weeks. So 15 days on the dot after Zimbabweans went to the election to elect the president, the House of Assembly, and the local council, we are yet to get an outcome of the elections. I'll end there so that at least I can give colleagues an opportunity to speak.